So I don't have a mic, so hopefully you all be able to hear me in the back. This is just recording, so it's not a mic, so I'm sorry.
It's just for show.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It'll be just a minute before we get there, but I'll give you time to turn there. I was telling Pastor Mix earlier, it's kind of unfair. Like, Rusty got to preach, and Pastor Frank was the only pastor here. Now I've got all three of them here watching and judging me, so. But at least I didn't have to wear a tie down here tonight, so I guess it's, you know, positives and negatives, so. Brother Frank suggested I thought I'd give my testimony first before I start my message. I was born in a pastor's home. My grandpa's a pastor. He currently still is, and so I've always attended his church growing up. And then my dad was the assistant pastor for him. So, you know, it's no surprise. I grew up in church, and so I got saved at an early age. It was around the age of 4 or 5. I don't really remember specifically, but I remember the specific time, and that's what's important. I remember kneeling by my bed and praying as a kid, and I let my parents know later on. And so even from a young age, I was, like, exposed to church a lot. And so I grew into loving ministry. You know, as a kid, you don't always love it. You know, when your parent, when my dad says, all right, you guys need to go out and change the sign out in the heat, and you have to change the sign out in front of the church, you don't really love it then. But my dad would always say, you know, you're not going to, you don't have to do it. You get to do it when it comes to ministry. And that's always been, even to this day, that really is an encouragement, and that helps me. So I got saved at the age of 4 or 5, around there. Baptized in second grade. After I got baptized, when I really started to grow, take my relationship with God seriously, I started to grow in studying the Bible, that kind of stuff. It was in 2014 that I was called to ministry, and it was kind of out of the blue. It really surprised me. As a kid, I hated talking in front of people. I still kind of do a little bit, so, but I hated talking in front of people, hated to, you know, to put myself out there. And so when God put it on my heart that he wanted me to be called to ministry and be called to preaching, I was like, it was like a kind of shell shock. Like, I had no idea where this was coming from. And it was at a youth conference, and it just came out of the blue. And it's like, well, God, I'm just going to, I was like, okay, well, I've got time to make that decision. I just kept pushing it off. And so throughout the summer, God worked on my heart in 2014. And at a youth camp, my dad was preaching. I fully surrendered to the call to ministry to do whatever God would want me to do. 2016, I was called to full-time missions for sure. Foreign missions is where I think the Lord's leading. Not really sure where I'm going yet. I'm kind of just leaving that door wide open, and God has a way of just kind of leading you through doors, opening doors and closing doors. Amen. That kind of had to do with this here. You know, I was a freshman at college. I was planning on just going back home this summer and doing, you know, there's a bunch of ministries that we do back home. And then Brother Frank called, and, you know, it was just a door I didn't even know existed, and God opened it up. So I kind of lead for the same thing when it comes to the missions later on after I graduate and that kind of stuff. Kind of just leaving that door open. We'll see, you know, where the Lord leads. And that's basically all. I mean, that brings me up to this point here. I'm here at, and we've been loving it. And we just want to thank you guys all so much. You guys have been a really good church. You've been very nice. We've got, you know, go out to eat with a few people, and we've got to just spend time talking to people. And so it's been really great. We love staying at, we're at the Rizzo's house, staying there, actually. We have the bachelor pad there at the Rizzo's house. So it's been really fun. We enjoy that, and it's been nice. We got to talk to Miss Angie a little bit, too, before she left, so that was good. And so I'm not going to keep you guys long tonight. I know we just ate, and it's kind of different being down here and stuff. So we won't be long. But if you are in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we'll get into the message. The title of it is called Charity, an Excellent Way. And I'll explain a little more about that title later on. So reading in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 12, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth." This is Paul writing this book to Timothy, a young pastor at the time. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." I didn't really mention where I go to college. He mentioned Heartland. That's where I'm at right now. And so I've gone through 2 semesters so far. First semester, we had a class called PSD. It stands for Personal Spiritual Development. And that class has been instrumental in helping. It just kind of opens your eyes to the importance of a personal walk with God, and it kind of gives some practical tips on how to do it. And so in that class, our class project was we had to take one of these things from this verse. So you know where it says, you know, it says word, it says conversation, charity, spirit, faith. You had to pick one of those things, and you did a big study over it. So you had to write a couple papers on it. I had to do a word study on it, all this kind of stuff. So going into that class, we had to list, and I was like, well, I wonder what I want to do. And charity kind of just popped out because I'm like, you know, I know the word charity, and I, you know, you think of charity, you think of, you know, goodwill, that kind of stuff, like just like giving money. But I'd never really known, like, how can I do charity in my life, you know? And so God really just kind of poked that out. You should check that out. And so that's what I did my study on, and then that message has kind of been developed from this. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight is that part there says on charity. So as I did my word study, if you do a word study, charity is only mentioned, multiple times in the Bible. Most of it is in 1 Corinthians. If you turn to chapter 13, that's where most of it's at. So if you want to turn there right now, That's where actually most of our message is going to come from, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's often called the chapter of love or chapter of charity. So we're going to read that, and then I'll say a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message. And so it says, chapter number 13 of 1 Corinthians says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." We skip down to verse number 13. It says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." Let's say a word of prayer real quick. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have, opportunity that I have to be up here and preaching tonight. I pray that you would just calm my heart now. Help me to have the words that you would have me to speak and not say the things that you wouldn't have me to say. And just guide me as I bring this message that you've kind of laid on my heart. I pray I can share it with the people that are here today. Thank you so much for everyone that is here. Thank you for the great meal we had and for the hands that prepared it. We're asking that you just please bless the rest of our evening. And may you receive all the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so looking at 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, the church of Corinth. It was a city known for its riches and known for its wealth, but at the same time, it was a city known for its rampant immoral behavior and of sin and for its pride in what it was. That's what the city was known for. Here's what one writer said. One writer said, "The city of Corinth was the Las Vegas of the ancient world. It was located on a peninsula that allowed sailors, merchants, refugees, and adventurers from all over the world to mix together, blending their customs and ideas. Corinth was rich with agriculture and a variety of export products. The city adopted a pleasure now philosophy. Nearly anything went in this party city. There was a saying, not everyone can go to Corinth, meaning that if you were lucky enough to visit Corinth, you live it up. According to one commentator, it must be remembered that Corinth was one of the most wicked cities of ancient times and that the church was surrounded by heathen customs and practices." And so, as is often the case, when you have a church that's in a society that's so evil and so wicked, a lot of times there's a separation issue and that kind of stuff leaks into the church. And that was the problem with the Corinthian church, is that they had all that sin, all that stuff that their culture surrounded them with, they allowed that to leak into their own lives and they weren't living the Christian lives they're supposed to live. And so it ended up, that church ended up having lots of problems. And honestly, it kind of sounds a lot like America today with that culture, and it sounds a lot like our culture today. And so it makes that this book of 1 Corinthians, I mean, the entire Bible is relevant, but it even makes it even more relevant for our day because of the time and the culture that we're living in. The Holy Spirit led Paul to spend two entire years there. That was a big time for him. Normally, he'd be in a town for, you know, a few weeks, a couple months maybe. There's only a couple cities where he spent years there, and Corinth was one of those. So the Holy Spirit led him to stay there for two whole years. He then wrote both books, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. He also wrote a third book, but that's not in the Bible. But it was to these struggling Christians. He wanted them to be Christ-like, and that's what we need as well. And so if the Holy Spirit could be burned so much about these people, I think it'd be the same, that their message that he wrote to them could apply to us so well. And that's why we should take heed to it. He wanted these struggling church and these Christians there to live out their lives to the fullest. And so if you're looking there, you know, as you go through the book, he spends the entire chapter just on charity. So if he's got this, he has two books to write to this church, and God has been putting an entire chapter on charity, it's got to be pretty important for them, thus making it important for us. And yet a lot of times, we can't really give a good definition for what charity is or how we live it out. And so if it was important enough to mention to Timothy, like we read first about living out charity in his life, and if charity was important enough for that, then why isn't it important enough for us? 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, "Let all your things be done with charity." Colossians 3:14 says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." So it's kind of a recurring theme of how Paul and Peter and other, the Holy Spirit's putting an importance on charity, yet how often do we have it in our lives? And that's the kind of thing that God burdened me about, and so that's why this study was such a help to me. 2 Peter says that charity is the highest peak of Christianity. I'll read it. It says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness." And then to top it all off, he says, and a brotherly kindness, charity. So looking back at our passage here, I actually want you to look one verse before a chapter. Look at chapter 12, verse number 31. Paul writes, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. A lot of people debate, well, what is that more excellent way he's talking about? Well, if you look down, you know, back when this was first, you know, when the Bible was written, it was written on scrolls. You know, you didn't have chapter divisions and verse divisions, all that kind of stuff. And so honestly, that verse number 31, it leads right into chapter number 13. So, you know, Paul was writing on, in chapter 12, it's about spiritual gifts, and writing, kind of instructing the church about that. And then he says, but you know, you should covet earnestly those best gifts, but I've shown you the more excellent way. And that's what we're supposed to strive for. The excellent way is charity. Yeah. And that was, thus we look at chapter number 13. And so we can look at first, he kind of breaks it up into two parts, his parts on charity. First, he breaks up and shows you what charity is not, and then he shows you what charity is. So that's what we're going to look at first, verse numbers 1 through 3 on what charity is not. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become like sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me little. And so, like I said, when I began my project, I kind of didn't know what charity was. You know, a lot of times we think of, maybe giving money to the poor. We think of it maybe being just a lot of people just call it love. And so is it the same as love? That's kind of the question that I wrestled with. And so Paul laid the rest, many of those false ideas of what charity is in these three verses here. And so first you can see that charity isn't found in being an exceptional Christian. And in verse number 1, he's describing, you know, it's like an A-plus Christian. It's a pretty good Christian. He's, Paul at his time, he was considered one of the greatest orators of the Bible. He was considered a guy, you know, he'd be one of the, you know, a real great preacher, a lot better than I would ever be. Yet he says, you know, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, you could be the best speaker, the best Christian, the best pastor, but yet he says, you know, if he doesn't have charity, it's nothing. It's like as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's nothing. It doesn't lead up to anything. Verse number 2, you know, it's not found in your spiritual gifts. Like I said, chapter number 12, as well as chapter number 14, Paul is, you know, this church was very enamored with spiritual gifts. They were caught up in the hype of that, this supernatural kind of power that was available back in the time of Acts. And so this church was so into that, and, you know, Paul's trying to say, well, you guys need to, there's something more important than those spiritual gifts, and it's charity. And so you could be, you know, you could have these gifts of prophecy or mysteries or knowledge, but if you don't have charity, Paul says it's nothing. He says, I am nothing if I don't have charity. In verse number 3, we see it's not found in great acts of kindness or even in extreme devotion to God. You could give your own body to be burned. You could be a martyr. But if you don't have charity, it counts as nothing for the Lord. And so that kind of caught me off guard because I'm like, you could be a great Christian, but if you're lacking this one thing, it's all for nothing. And so that's why, to me, it was so important that I figured out, well, what is this thing called charity? Our church, we're from Cleveland Baptist. I don't know if we mentioned that or not, but me and Rusty, we're from Cleveland Baptist. That's where Brother Frank is from as well. And if you know anything about our church, it's a large church, and we do a lot. There's a lot of ministry stuff. It's go, go, go. Brother Frank can tell you a lot. It's go, go, go. We've got, we've got buses that we go out every morning. We pick up people from the inner city, and we get kids and adults. There's food drives and food pantries. You've got stuff going on. You've got dinners for widows. It's just go, 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 go. There's stuff to do every day. And ministry can get busy like that sometimes. And if we're not careful, you'll get caught up in the dues of ministry, in the dues of being doing your Christian life, of reading your Bible, you know, trying to do your devos every day. Or you'll get caught up in the making sure you're giving on a tract to someone at the store. But yet, if you don't have charity, even in doing those acts, if you don't have charity, it's for nothing. And so it's not something you can do just to check off the box when you say you've been Christ-like for today. You know, I think about around Christmas time. I always love Christmas time. So I always think about Christmas, it feels like. And so, you think about Christmas and you're there at the store and the lady says, you know, as you're checking out, she's like, oh, would you like to, you know, donate the, you know, round up the rest of your total to help feed the children? And it's maybe like 5 cents or something like that. And you kind of think like, well, is my 5 cents really going to feed the children? I don't know about that. But you might just, you know, you can just do that. But that's not something you can just check off and say, well, I've been charitable for today. I gave 5 cents to help feed the children or something like that. Charity is not found in the dues. It's not a checkbox. And so it's not in any of that. And what it really is, verse number 4 through 7, Paul kind of lays to rest, well, this is what it is. This is what charity is. And before we get to that, Noah Webster had this to say about charity. This was his definition. And a lot of times his definitions are biblically based in some ways. He says, this is his definition. He says, in a general sense, charity is love, benevolence, goodwill. It's that disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow man or to do them good. So he does say do them good. It's that action there. But, and that's at the end, but that's not the key. The key is that disposition of heart. He says it's the disposition of heart. It's that part of the heart which inclines you to think favorably for someone and then do them good. So you're acting on something inside, and that's you showing the charity. And so for charity, it first must be found in us before we can ever be actually charitable to someone else. Think about a tea bag. I'm a big tea guy. I love coffee and I love tea. I only drink hot tea. I don't drink cold tea, only hot tea. And so you think of a tea bag, you put it in the thing, and it's, you know, whatever's inside that's going to come out. So you can't be surprised if you're wanting green tea and you put a black tea bag in there, you're not going to get black tea out, or you're not going to get green tea. You're going to get whatever's inside the bag, you know what I mean? And so that's the same thing with us. You're not going to be able to be charitable to someone, truly charitable. You're not going to show true charity unless it's first inside of you. Well, you think, well, what's the source of all charity or the source of all love? Well, it's God. And so you're never going to be truly charitable unless you've got a Christian, you're truly saved, unless you've got that inside of you. My book that I read to help study out charity for that PSC project that I did, I had this thought to say. It said, charity is not defined in the Bible. It's only demonstrated. That really caught me off guard. But if you think about it, you know, love is defined in the Bible. You know, 1 John 4:8 says God is love. So love is clearly defined in the Bible. But charity, you never get a clear definition of charity. Translators translated the same word agape into both charity and love. And if you read a lot of the different new versions, they'll take this whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 and they all say it's love. They don't use the word charity. They just use the word love. Well, you have to think, well, the translators must have known something. If they're translating love, agape, into love in some chapters and charity in other chapters, there has to be a difference between it. And there is, if you look at it biblically. Every time charity is used, it's used in your relationship between each other. So love, God loves us, but you know, we're never, and we can love God back, but we're never charitable to God. Our charity is towards others. It's your love that you show towards others. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And so that really is, so to think of, you know, if I'm trying to come up with a biblical definition of what charity is, one good definition I kind of came up with was, it'd be the outpouring of the love that I've received from God to others through me. The love that I have from God and the reciprocating that love to others. and so if I can back that up biblically, we can look at verses number 4-7. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. And so the key difference here that Paul is trying to get across is the matter of motivation. You know, if you look at those verses, those are all actions. You know, looking at suffering long, thinking of being kind, you know, that's stuff you do outward. Well, we just talked about how, you know, charity is not in being an exceptional Christian. It's not in showing that kindness to others. It has to do with your motivation and the reason you're doing behind it. If I hate someone, yeah, I can still give them money to be charitable to them. How am I actually being charitable? How am I actually showing charity if I hate the person at the same time? And so that's the key difference, is he's trying to get across the matter of motivation of why you do the good to others that you do. Charity is lived out with the motivation of love for others. So with that motivation of wanting to build them up or to bless them or to make them better, even at the expense of losing face yourself, losing your own value. So he gives some specific examples. He talks about long suffering. He talks about dealing with patience with people, even when you got the most annoying, under your skin, push your button kind of people. I work at Chick-fil-A all the time down at me and my boy. Yeah, we work at Chick-fil-A. So he gets it. You got those people. They just get under your skin. They're just, you know, they want their chicken and they want it now and they don't want any issues. You know, that's what you deal with a lot. But you're gonna deal with those people and you're gonna have those people. You're gonna have those people at your job. You're gonna have that people. Who knows? You may one day accidentally be married to one of them. You never know. You're gonna be one of those people. You're gonna have to deal with it. But long suffering, and that's a specific example he gives to these people. He talks about being kind, about going out of your way to make someone's day, to just do something nice for someone. I mean, how often do you go out of your way specifically to say, "How am I gonna be nice to this person today?" Talks about envying, not about not looking to get, but to give. You know, if I'm envying, I'm looking always to get my own stuff. Not envying, ask, how can I build that person's image or build their confidence, build their attitude up? It's what we're talking about is being intentional, about looking for ways to show charity to others. Charity doesn't vaunt itself up. So that has to do with pride. A love that boasts of loving others isn't any real kind of love. If you have to always boast about how you love someone, are you really showing the love to them? While envy is the feeling of the lesser, so if you're envying someone, you're looking down up. Pride is the feeling of the greater about the lesser. Both were present in Corinth. You have guys that were really rich. They were looking down on the poor people. You had poor people looking down on the rich. They were all in the same church, but there was a division there. And it was a big issue there. And so that's why Paul stressed this idea of charity, because charity is such a unifying thing. And if you go back through all the verses, do your own word study on charity, a lot of the verses he uses with charity have to do with unifying the church, and they had churches with division problems. And so if you've got a church that's loving each other, you won't have problems with division. And it just won't be there if you love someone. Charity is not puffed up, and that's an inward pride as opposed to the outward pride of vaunting yourself. If you're going to vaunt yourself, you're pushing yourself up in front of people. Where if you're puffed up, you know, someone may think you're the most humble person ever, but on the inside you think, well, I'm all that. You think that? That's still pride, and it's still in there. And charity doesn't do that. Charity's looking at others first. One possessing God-like love, God-like charity, is not going to view himself so highly. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. It's the idea of just not being rude to others. It doesn't seek your own. It's not a self-centered kind of person. It also do a lot with pride here. Charity is not provoked. It's not looking for reasons to be mad at others. Some people, it just seems like they want a reason to be mad. Well, that charity doesn't do that. If you've got charity in your life, you're not going to be like that. It looks for ways to look over the things that would make oneself mad. There's verses in the Bible that talks about how love covers a multitude of sins, and how if you're looking, you're not going to look for to be mad at someone if you're trying to look to love them. You'll be too busy looking for ways to love a person to look for a way to be mad at the same person. If you think charity thinks no evil, it doesn't hold on to the memories of the wrongs of oneself. When I read that, I was kind of doing some study online to just try and see what other people thought about these verses. And that's what someone mentioned. He said, he talks about that memory of holding on. So if you're thinking evil of someone, you're holding on to something they did to you who knows how long ago. Well, charity's not going to do that. Charity's looking for ways to forget and to do good for them. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So your true joy isn't found in the things of the world, but it's found in the truth of God's word. That's where you will find your true joy, and not the temporalness of sin. And then lastly, it says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Another commentator I read about mentioning on this chapter, he said, well, all these things remind him of Christ. And really, if you think about it, all these ways that charity is demonstrated in these three verses, all those ways that charity is demonstrated, Christ demonstrated those perfectly when he was here on earth. And so it's just another way to point us to Christ. They all point to him, and so he really is that perfect example of charity. So we're talking about wanting to be Christ-like as a Christian. You're going to have charity because he's the perfect example of it. So to conclude, I've only got really two points of application. First is what I like to call the Chick-fil-A way. I don't know if you've seen this video before. There's a training video. So I know you guys have all been to Chick-fil-A before, I'm sure, or at least you've heard of it. We're very customer-centered. That's one thing. And that's one thing I love about being there, because we are so customer-centered. And they actually, in their training videos, they stress that a lot. They even use Bible verses in their training videos, which I thought was really neat. And it was encouraging when I went there. So there's this one video, though, that you have to watch it. And it talks about how you have no idea what someone's going through. And it's a really well-made video. They're coming through and they're driving their car. Maybe they're giving you an attitude. And then it shows above their head some words. And, this person, just broke up with their girlfriend today. Or this person just got a divorce. Or this person just lost their job. You have no idea what these people are going through. And you're just there to serve them chicken. That's all you're doing. And I get it. It's not like the ministry, but when it comes to the ministry, you have no idea what someone, as they walk in the doors for their church, you've got no idea. Maybe, they've gone through something really hard in their life. You've got no idea. And so that's why charity in our lives is so important, because you're going to come in contact with people that you've got no idea what's going on with them, but you have a chance to shine Christ-likeness, and the best way to do it is through charity. Even when others are treating me wrong, even when I've had a bad day, I can still go. I've still got that Christ-like charity inside me. And if it's inside me, I can still let it out. Even if I don't feel like it, even if I've got a bad day going, if it's inside me, if I have that charity, I can let it out and I can be a minister and a blessing to others. The second point of conclusion, there's this kid on my bus. So I work on a bus route back home at Cleveland, and there's a kid on my bus named Zachary. So he just started attending right before I left for college. So this is a young man. He's about 12, 13, something like that. And so I picked him up a couple Sundays after me meeting him, because I came back from college and he had just started going. So I kind of got to meet him on the bus. A couple Sundays later, we had an Easter cantata. So I picked him up. He wanted to come. It was at nighttime. The bus didn't run. So I went and picked him up, and I was kind of just talking to him. We got to talk, and it surprised me. I had no idea what this kind of, the stuff this kid had gone through. And so he started to talk. He had come out of His dad was kind of in and out of his life. You know, he really didn't, he knew his dad, but he never really got to see him a whole lot because he's just in and out. He'd leave and he'd do this stuff. He'd been in 17 different schools since kindergarten. He's 12 years old. He'd been in 17 different schools. And I was just like, what? And he talked about it like it was just a normal thing. And I asked him, well, why? Why'd you move around so much? He said, well, his mom was always struggling to pay the rent, so they had to move out a bunch. And they had to move to a different school district, that kind of stuff. They even spent some time in a homeless shelter, he mentioned. And he said every time they moved, he would lose his friends, and he'd even get depressed, he said. He said his mom told him that for the house that they're living in now was going to be the one they'd stay in, but he said he didn't really know if he could believe it or not. And that, so it sounds like what the only father figure he had in his life, his uncle had passed away. So now his aunt wouldn't let him see his cousins because they're mad at the family. It was just a big mess. And to think that, you know, I had talked to this kid on the bus before, but I never got to know that stuff about him. And so you can never imagine. I mean, he's just a happy kid. He's a good kid. He just started, he went to the all-nighter our church had. He's making some friends at church. And you would never know that that kind of stuff's happening in his life. And the answer that, you know, I can't fix those problems for him, even though I wish I could. I can't do anything about it. The only thing I can do is show Christ-like love to him and show charity to him. When he comes to church, I can share the gospel with him, and that's the best way to show that Christ-like love. And so, you know, all those ways demonstrated that itself in verses 4 through 7 that we just read, you know, those are the descriptions of Christ, and that I can be the best picture, maybe the best picture of Christ he's going to see in a while. You know, if he isn't saved yet, which I believe he is saved now, but he wasn't saved at first. And so, you know, if he doesn't know who Christ is, I can be that picture of Christ for him by the way I act, and then I can also share the gospel with him. And so really that's the only way that you can help those people that are hurting in their lives is that you can be that charity and show that Christ-likeness to them. Acts chapter number 11, verse number 26. I'm going to turn there just to finish up. So I don't know if you've ever heard before. I'm sure you've read this verse before, but you might have noticed it. And so verse number 26 of Acts chapter 11, it says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught many people." And then the part I want to focus on, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." This was the church that, you know, they were called Christians. Christian means little Christ or Christ-like. And so first it was meant as a kind of a term of like derision, like, oh, you're just like Christ. And they're kind of laughing. Well, those Christians at Antioch, they brought it on as their name. They said, well, we're proud of that. We're trying to be like Christ. But you think it says the disciples were called. They didn't name themselves Christians. They didn't say, look at us. We're Christians. We're like Christ. The people in that city of Antioch, they're the ones that named them Christians. Well, how would you name someone Christian? How would you name someone Christ-like unless they were acting like it, unless they were living out their light, unless they were shining out as Christians? That's how they saw, well, these guys are acting just like Christ did. And they meant it as a form of derision, but it wasn't. It was a badge of honor to be called Christian, Christ-like. And so charity really is that best way to show Christ-likeness. It's just like Christ. Christ is the perfect picture of it. If you're going to shine it out, whether it be sharing the gospel with someone at the store, whether it be someone here at the church, a fellow church member here, however it is, that's going to be the perfect way for you to shine Christ. You know, charity is that better, more excellent way that Paul was talking about in chapter number 12, and that we as Christians, that we're supposed to follow it. And so I pray that we can all really, I hope that I've kind of shared that with you tonight, that if you haven't focused on charity before, if you haven't thought about it, take the time to actually specifically think about it. Say, how can I be charitable today? How can I live like Christ today? And I hope it was a blessing to you. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I'll hand it over to Pastor Frank. Dear God, thank you for this day, Lord. We're thankful for just how great of a God you are. Thank you for all of your blessings to us. Thank you for your word and how we can trust it in all the difficulties and all just the hard parts of life. We know that we can trust your word. We're thankful, Lord, for this message tonight. I hope that my stuttering and stammering and just my, you know, that I was able to get out of the way. Hopefully that, Lord, that you spoke to hearts tonight. And I pray that you would help everyone here, including myself, to focus more on charity when we get the chance to choose to be more Christ-like, even when we don't feel like it, but to choose to show that love, share the love that you've given to us, help us to share it with others in any way that we can, and so that in all of it that you can receive the honor and glory. We're thankful so much for all of your blessings. I pray that you please bless the rest of our night. In Jesus' name, amen.